let's all chant together. Utsahat nischayat dhairyat. Tatat karma pravartanat. Sangatyagat sato vritti. So I'm going to read the translation as given by Srila Prabhupada. Utsaha, by enthusiasm. Nishayat, by confidence. Dhairyat, by patience. Tat tat karma, various activities favorable for devotional service. Pravartanat, by performing. Sangatyagat, by giving up the association of non-devotees. Sataha, of the great previous acharyas. Vritti, by following in the footsteps. Shadbhi, by this six bhakti devotional service. Prasiddhyati, advances or becomes successful. Translation and translation by Srila Prabhupada. There are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service: being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regulative principles such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, abandoning the association of non-devotees, and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So I would just start that, if you all remember the first two shlokas, this is a shloka, series of shlokas written by Srila Rupa Goswami to help us in progress of our devotional life. So first shloka speaks of six. What does it speak of? Anybody remembers? You'll have to put on your mic to answer the question. First shloka
Shloka speaks about that who is qualified to accept disciple. Someone who has control over his speech and his belly and his genitals, he is eligible to accept disciple from the world.
Correct. So six vegas, the one who controls six different vegas, they can make the disciples around the world. Then the second shloka speaks about six. There are six. What is that?
Six activities that can destroy one's devotional service.
Correct. Six activities which destroys one's devotional service. And next is, now today's verse is six activities or six qualities which will enhance or which will give success in the devotional service. Then the next will come six exchanges between the devotees. So why, if Rupa Goswami had to write, he wrote the things which to be avoided first before writing third verse, which he says, what to be done. So is there any understanding, or any one of you can share, why has he given nished or what not to do before giving what we should be doing? Any comments? Anybody?
I think, Mataji, if we have control, first we know how to control our senses and how, like, what not to do, then we can understand the importance of how to improve ourselves in the devotional service.
Okay. Partly you are right in one sense. For doing any activity in the world, or for that matter, any definition is complete when it includes what it is and what it is not. So again, here also there are few things which should be done and few things which should not be done. But Rupa Goswami chose to speak what not to be done before speaking this thing. One of the reasons is that whenever something is told to us, what happens? Possibly it might happen that we start following it without even waiting for the next instruction, what not to do it. But when somebody tells what not to do, we will listen patiently and we will wait till the next instruction comes what to do. But as soon as the instruction comes what to do, maybe the mind starts working on it and we might start acting on it, and then we might not be able to pay attention on the next equally important point, what not to do. And that is why Rupa Goswami chooses to tell us first what not to do, which is equally important, than what to do. Okay? So then, now...
Yeah, Mataji, I just thought of one point, like when you initially
yes.
joined the ISKCON, like I have heard devotees saying, okay, do your do's, your don'ts will go away automatically.
Correct.
So maybe that
Correct.
Statement applies for neophytes, and this book
Correct.
Is for little advanced devotees. So I think for
Correct.
Advanced devotees,
Correct.
You should know what are don'ts,
yes.
and then you should follow do's. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, this is correct. Basically, it is true that even when in the devotion, when we join, we have to have something do's and don'ts. But the don'ts which are given by Srila Prabhupada, which are the four main regulative principles, if we start with that, people will withdraw themselves. So that is why there, because it is such a new, we actually want to give them some taste. And once the taste is developed, then only they will go into bhakti. And once they are enthusiastic, they will really want to do, then these are the principles. So principles has to start for somebody who is actually sincere. So your
yes.
understanding is correct. Okay. So thank you for this nice point. So 6 points which are described here are enthusiasm. So when we go into the purport, before going into all 6 points, Srila Prabhupada makes a very important statement in the purport. And it starts with opening definition of bhakti. So again, same principle applies, that when he gives the definition, he uses the shloka given by Rupa Goswami, which starts with Anya Bhilashita Sunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavrutam Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So this is the definition of bhakti, or uttam bhakti, or pure devotional service. And again, there is something which is to be done and something which is not to be done. So can anybody say what is to be done here? In this shloka, you all have books in front of you, right? Book or whatever, like you can read it. So
yes.
there are something to be done and something to be avoided in pure devotional service. So what is to be done?
Being enthusiastic.
I'm asking for the definition. Uttama Bhakti's definition. Uttama Bhakti involves
practical activity.
Correct. So there has to be a devotional service. So rendering devotional service. And secondly, important point in this definition is that it has to be in favorable mood. Motive should be favorable. And avoid two things, and that is jnana, karmadi, anavritam, devoid of fruitative karma and speculative jnana. So again, same point what we discussed. Something to be done and something not to be done. Both the parts are given in the definition of bhakti. So Rupa Goswami says it should be a pure devotional service, means one should engage into rendering devotional service, means practical activity. Second point, it should be favorable. And what it should not be? It should not be tinged with karma and jnana. Okay? Now, this point, what is the next paragraph which starts, that bhakti is a sort of cultivation. This line you will hear again and again and again, many devotees quoting. Why? Because it is very, very important. What do we mean by cultivation? Can any one of you try and share your understanding?
Cultivation means a gradual progress.
Anything else? Important part? Yes, one important part, it is gradual progress, but one another important part of it
comes from Mataji.
Sorry.
Yes?
But
no,
I think it
Mataji.
Comes out of practice.
What sort of practice? Can you say again, Mataji?
Comes out of sadhana.
Are you able to hear me properly? Because I'm not able to hear you properly. I can hear something, but I'm not able to hear you properly. Am I audible to everybody properly?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, good. So, somebody, one Mataji said, Bhakti means it's a gradual process. Any other point?
Mataji, it is like when you cultivate, you know, to grow a tree, you have to start very small. So I think the roots,
correct,
you know, you plant the seeds and it develops and forms and it grows and grows and grows. So, you know, it is a gradual process that takes time.
Correct. So true. Very, very important that it takes time and it is gradual. And one important part of cultivation is it takes efforts. Cultivation is a gradual process of establishing or gaining something by putting efforts. And that is what Prabhupada wants to write here, that bhakti is a sort of cultivation. It means that, yes, there will be some souls who are nitya siddhas, and you will see that when they are born, they are naturally devotees. They are from birth, they are just devotees, and they are very different. But for most of us, we are not nitya siddhas. We have to cultivate devotion. It means we have to work on it to slowly and gradually process on this process to develop our bhakti. So that is important, that we have to put efforts in gradual development. Okay? So in this one, Prabhupada writes that bhakti is a sort of cultivation. Cultivation of spirituality does not mean sitting down idly for meditation, but it means that there has to be activities. So meditation has only one thing, that you try to control your mind by negating the thoughts. It means that the mind, which is full of lot of negativity, you try and make it peaceful and bring it to a level of zero. Just stop all the nonsensical activities. But bhakti is one step ahead, which means you replace this negativity by something positive. Anybody can give example of why only removing negativity and coming to the stage of peaceful, steady meditation is not enough, and there is always a chance of fall down from there? Any example which comes to your mind?
Mataji, anybody? Could it be, Mataji, I can guess that the connection to the Supreme is temporary. Maybe perhaps it's only while you're meditating, and once that meditation is over or you can't continue, you know, the personal effort reduces, and, you know, like success is equal to personal effort plus Krishna's mercy. So if any of those two elements go away, then you can't continue making progress, maybe.
I'm trying to look for an example of someone who is trying to be meditative and reach to the stage of peacefulness or remove the nonsensical thought, what Prabhupada writes here. But because there is no engagement in meaningful devotional service, that meditator could not continue to control the mind and had a fall down.
There are so many examples, like...
So many examples. Saubari Muni. There are so many examples. Yes.
Vishwamitra
Muni, correct. Yeah, there are a lot of examples in the scriptures. So this is exactly what Prabhupada tries to write here, that meditation means only stopping the nonsensical activities, but devotional service is not only putting it to the nonsensical activities or thoughts to an end, but something positive, and that is engaging one's mind into meaningful devotional activities. So this is the difference between having a simple dhyana yoga versus something which is higher, which is given in bhakti. So after this, Prabhupada has now given definition of bhakti, what it is and what it is not. So it is devotional service, it has to be favorable, and what it is not, it should not be contaminated with jnana and karma. Then he says how only dry jnana or meditation is not enough, because there is a risk of falling down, because there is no engagement in devotional activities. So what are the type of devotional activities is the next thing which Prabhupada writes here. And then he talks about Navadha Bhakti. Right? And I'm sure all of you know about Navadha Bhakti. So each one of you want to say one Navadha Bhakti? Try and don't read it and try and remember and tell one Navadha Bhakti if possible. One at a time.
Shravanam.
Shravanam.
Kirtanam.
Kirtanam.
Smaranam.
Smaranam, very good.
Archanam.
Vandanam.
Mm-hmm.
Pada Sevanam.
Okay, that was in between fourth, then Vandanam. Okay, good. Last three.
Dasyam.
Very good.
Sakhyam.
Sakhyam. And last one.
Atmanivedanam.
Correct. Thank you very much. This is perfect. Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. So these are the 9 devotional processes, and this was given by whom? Who is speaking this verse in Bhagavatam?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Prahlad Maharaj is telling to? He is telling to whom? To his class friends, to his teachers, to his?
Father.
Correct. He tells his father. These are the 9 devotional service processes. And you should leave everything, go to forest and take up this process of devotional service. Out of these 9 processes, what is the first step or what is the most important is Shravanam. And then next important is Kirtanam. Why it is important to have Shravanam first before Kirtanam? Why Shravanam is more important?
Because without hearing, we don't have that knowledge. By hearing,
correct,
only we can get knowledge.
Correct. Only when we hear, we can speak. The children who are born deaf cannot speak. We all know this. It's not that they do not have speaking capacity. They do have capacity of vocabulary, but because they do not hear sound, they cannot speak. This is naturally seen even in this body when it is born. So when we do not hear, we cannot speak. And that is why when we do not do Shravanam, we cannot do Kirtanam. So that is why Shravanam is the first step, which is followed by Kirtanam. Okay? And how do we do Shravanam? Then Prabhupada writes in the next, he gives the he quotes 4.34 from Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the most famous shloka, which is quoted, how to receive knowledge in parampara, tadvidhi prani patena, that shloka. And in that, the most important part are 2. The important part of this shloka is, the disciple should inquire submissively, and second, render service. From whom? You should inquire from self-realized soul who has seen the truth. So this shloka gives the qualification of a guru and qualities of a disciple. Okay? So after this, Srila Prabhupada says that one should approach a spiritual master, because without approaching a spiritual master, one cannot get complete knowledge. Because it is, he's quoting Mundaka Upanishad, where he says, to understand that transcendental science, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. And then he gives reference from Srila Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Chaitanya Charitamrut, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jiv, Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Vij. What does it mean? That rare soul who gets that mercy of Guru and Krishna both, it cannot be only one, Guru and Krishna both, finally gets the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of pure devotional service. So till here, Prabhupada is talking all about Bhakti, the process of Bhakti, and how to get the knowledge about Bhakti. Okay? So can quickly somebody revise the definition of Bhakti, 2 important thing to do and 2 important thing not to do in Bhakti. To do?
It should be favorable.
Okay, favorable, and first thing?
devotion service.
Correct. So one should engage into devotional service, render devotional activities, and it should be favorable. And what it should not be tinged with?
It should not be tinged with karma and jnana.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Next, he says, how is the difference? What is the difference between simple meditation and devotional service? So what does the devotional service gives extra compared to meditation?
In meditation, we have a chance to fall down because we just negate the nonsensical activities, but devotional service, we engage our mind in devotional service, so we do not have a chance to fall down.
Correct, correct. Okay. After this, Srila Prabhupada quotes 9 processes of devotional service, which all of you had answered together, Shravanam, Kirtanam. And then the next point we said that in Shravanam, you should hear from a spiritual master. So what is the qualification of a guru? Please tell.
Somebody who is from Parampara.
Okay.
Self-realized.
Right. Self-realized, one who has seen the truth. Okay, and there is one more qualification which is not spoken here, but because we are speaking, I will say that there is one more qualification. It should be in parampara. He should be self-realized. And third thing is always he should act what he speaks.
Yeah.
It's called as prachar by achar. Okay, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says that a perfect teacher is one who does 2 things. One, he does achar in his own life, and second, prachar. So when a person does both, he is a perfect teacher or a spiritual master. Okay? And then after this, Prabhupada has quoted Brahmanda Brahmite, saying that how bhakti requires mercy of both Guru and Lord Krishna. Okay? So now after this, the 6 qualities or the 6 positive things which can help or enhance our bhakti are described from the shloka. So first is enthusiasm. And very important thing which generally Prabhupada, every time he writes something, he will write what does it mean. And then Prabhupada writes, what do you mean by being enthusiastic? Being enthusiastic means, he gives a definition of enthusiasm. It comes probably after a few paragraphs. But please write down or please note down which is the line which is definition of utsaha. Prabhupada says, endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha or enthusiasm. Okay? It's not only just to be enthusiastic to do something. We might be enthusiastic to jump from 6th floor. But that's not enthusiasm. That's not what Prabhupada is talking about. Prabhupada says, endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha. Why it is important? Because utsaha or enthusiasm is one of the main quality required to be successful in life. And the Prabhupada gives example that even in material world, when we want to try and become successful as a student, as a businessman or an artist, we have to be enthusiastic. And enthusiastic means we have to act in enthusiasm. And for whom we should be enthusiastic? It should be in Krishna consciousness. So that one line, endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm, is called utsaha, is very, very important. Okay? And then Prabhupada writes that we should be enthusiastic to do what? To serve Krishna. And how do we serve Krishna enthusiastically? Then he gives a nice big example of dictaphone, and he says that Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is all pervading and is all merciful. So whatever we are doing, when we offer it in service of Krishna in a favorable mood, Krishna will accept, and that is what enthusiasm he is talking about. How does it help to us in grihastha life? It is very, very specifying that utsaha does not mean that you should be so enthusiastic that you need to leave everything, go to Himalayas, go to a secluded place and then do bhakti. No. Prabhupada says that Krishna is all pervading, and in whatever state we are, when we utilize that everything, whatever is available in service of Krishna, that is called enthusiasm. And then he quotes very beautiful verse which is also written by Rupa Goswami, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. Whatever can be used in service of Krishna, in relation to Krishna, should be used in service of Krishna, and that is actually enthusiasm. And then he quotes that example of dictaphone. So this is the enthusiasm part of his what explanation Srila Prabhupada has given. Anybody wants to say something about enthusiasm? Before we go to the next quality, patience.
Enthusiasm is always helpful to preach others because it always attracts people's attention. If I do something enthusiastically, if I read also enthusiastically, if I chant also enthusiastically, so it attracts other people to attend, means to grab their attention, so they can come to Krishna consciousness.
Yes, very important. This is very, very important. And the second part of this is also very important, that when we act enthusiastic, we attract others' attention and it attracts others' heart. At the same time, if we act non-enthusiastically, we are preaching others to be non-enthusiastic. As for example, if a kirtan is going on and somebody is dancing and we just don't feel enthusiastic, we just want to go on side, maybe doze off, or just want to, we don't want to be part of this. We are telling others that maybe there is something better to do and this is not the best thing to do in the world, and that is how others will get discouraged. And that is why His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says many times that if you do not feel enthusiastic, what should we do? We should? Anybody has heard?
We should act enthusiastic.
If we do not feel enthusiastic, we should act enthusiastic. Because when we just act also, even if we are not feeling, when we, with that, it is such a contagious feeling that with that, others also start feeling enthusiastic.
Yeah, and I think association of enthusiastic devotees also inspires us to become enthusiastic. Like if we are not enthusiastic, if we see somebody so enthusiastic, it can make a difference.
Yes. This is exactly in the saying, right? When we say that fake it till you make it, correct?
Right.
That you just try and act and finally you will feel enthusiastic. Okay, so this is about enthusiasm. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say, a man without enthusiasm is just like an animal. Okay, so then we go to the next quality, and that is patience. Utsaha Nishchaya. Nishchaya means actually confidence. And Prabhupada translated by saying, Nishchaya means by confidence, right? But when in the purport, Prabhupada comes on the patience first, the third quality first, and then he is going on to confidence. So maybe we will also just follow Prabhupada's lines. So, utsaha nishchaya dhairya. Dhairya means patience. So, we'll first talk after enthusiasm about patience with the flow of Prabhupada's purport, and then we will come back to confidence. So, what does a patient mean? Patient means having faith that slowly, gradually, the things will come. The results are never going to come overnight. We need to be patient. And then in the purport, Prabhupada writes, one should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take the instructions from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The successful execution of Krishna consciousness activities require both patience and confidence. And then Prabhupada has given an analogy that if a lady gets married and she wants to have a child from the husband, she has to be patient. She cannot become mother and she cannot have child just the next day. She has to have patience and confidence that yes, slowly one day it will happen, but she will have to wait for a while. That is what the analogy Srila Prabhupada gives in the next, with the patience and confidence. So with patience, does it help us? Like, do we also sometimes become impatient in our devotional life?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. Sometimes we feel I have been chanting for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Why am I not feeling ecstasy? Why I still feel so much pressurized when I have to chant my rounds? Why I don't feel purified? Why my heart has so much of anarthas? Is this process working or no? We start having doubts sometime after so many years when we start losing patience. Does anybody face this problem?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. So I've heard one line that devotional life is also not like an army. You know, like when you get when you join an army, you have to get trained, and after a long period of training, one can become go to a higher rank. So there is a saying called "Aaj Bharti Kal Chakravarti." It means today you get entry into the force, and tomorrow you become a Chakravarti or get a big medal. That's not possible. So we have to have patience. And this is very important in a devotee's life, because for years together we are sometimes putting endeavors, and if the results do not appear to come to the perceivable stage, what we can perceive, then we start losing patience sometimes. But Krishna consciousness is a process which is working, sometimes slowly for somebody, sometimes little fast for somebody, but it always works. And I'm sure you all might have heard that story of a person who goes to his spiritual master and says that you told me to chant some mantra, I have been chanting, but I don't think my life is changing, my life is just the same. Can you tell me why is it not working for me, or if there is anything which is happening in my life? And the spiritual master said, oh, I will give you answer. Can you please, before that, bring me some amount of water in a bag, which is from a river, which is just flowing behind my hut. So this disciple saw that there was a gunny bag of coal. So he took up that bag. He went to the river. He picked up the water. But by the time he would bring it to the hut, the water would flow out. And he was not able to become successful in getting the water to his spiritual master. He went and went up and down a few times. He would fetch the water in that gunny bag, but all the water would drip out. So finally, feeling completely unsuccessful, he comes back to his spiritual master and says, I'm sorry, but I've been unsuccessful in getting the water. All the water is going out. The spiritual master said, don't worry about the water. Look at the bag. The bag, which was full of all mud because of the coal, has got completely cleared now without even you realizing that the process was working in cleansing the bag. Similarly, we have to have that faith and patience that the process is working. It is completely powerful and it will purify our heart today or tomorrow, and this will finally take us back to Godhead one day for sure. Only thing which is required from us is to remain faithful in this system of Srila Prabhupada's movement, and then once we are we remain attached and faithful, one day finally we will make our life we will find ourselves back home, back to Godhead. That is the point of patience. Any questions or any comment on patience?
Yes, Mataji, I just want to share one thing, that once I was hearing one lecture by His Holiness Radhana Sai Maharaj, and Maharaj was giving an example that how a banana fruit is very it's very favorite for him. He likes the fruit very much, and he wants to eat the fruit. But for a monkey to peel the banana and eat the pulp, it's like sadhana for him. Means he just want to eat. It is as it is, you know, with the peel. But after peeling the banana or take out the pulp and then eat, it's very much like austerity for a monkey. But a monkey, he has that faith that if I peel the banana, I will get the pulp. So he has that faith, and patiently he tries to peel the banana and he eats the pulp. So Maharaj always takes the example for us, because we are so impatient and we don't want to wait patiently. But if we have that faith in our heart, that if someday Krishna is there and we can go back to Godhead, So then we can patiently, we can wait, and we can do our sadhana nicely. Yes, Mataji, that's right.
Thank you for the nice point. And I also remember, like, once Radhanath Maharaj saying that we all are in the right bus. Our captain, Srila Prabhupada, is just perfect. And what we need to now do is just patiently be in the bus and follow the process. And very important thing, don't get down. The bus will stop at various bus stops, but don't look at the batata vadas and idli dosas being sold on the stations. Don't get off the bus. You might miss the bus. Remain in the bus, because finally one day the bus will take us back to Godhead. Thank you. So we'll go to the next point, and that is the confidence. So there is utsaha nishchaya. Nishchaya means having confidence. And what is the confidence which a devotee should have? Avishya rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will surely protect me and give me help for the successful execution of devotional service. This is called confidence. Why should we be confident? Why should we have faith in the words of Krishna? He has told Avishya, he says, right, Krishna has said, Name Bhakta Pranashyati, my devotees will never be perished. Why should we have faith? Krishna's devotees have always suffered. If you open the pages of Bhagavatam, devotees of Krishna have always suffered. May it be Dhruva Maharaj, may it be Prahlad, may it be Pandava or Kunti or Amrish Maharaj, right? They all suffered. Then how can I have faith that devotees of Krishna will not have problems? They always had problems. So what gives me confidence?
Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. He loves his devotees. So even though we are suffering, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and devotees have this faith that at the end I am going to meet Krishna and my suffering will be over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, even so it is always a hope, correct?
In the Bhagavatam itself, like where it has been explained that Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj gone through these difficulties, there also it has been explained that they have achieved happiness at the end. I mean, like Dhruva Maharaj was saying that I was looking for a pieces of glass.
Correct.
That I have got.
Correct. Diamond. This is important, that though Krishna's devotees have always suffered, 2 points. One, that the suffering was not ordinary. Krishna has sent the suffering himself. And what does he do in the suffering? He personally comes and protects his own devotees. He put Prahlad Maharaj in such a situation where he had so much of suffering, but at every stage he himself personally protected Prahlad Maharaj. Pandavas underwent so many difficulties, but in every stage he was there to protect Pandavas. Exactly what Kunti Maharani tells at the end. When all the suffering was over, and when the Pandavas and when the Yudhishthira Maharaj was made the king of Hastinapur, and Krishna said, now everything is all right, let me go back to Dwarka, and Kunti Maharani comes running, and she says, what she says? Let that calamities come again and again, when you were with us all the time. Whether it was the disrobing of Draupadi, or whether it was gambling match, or whether it was burning in Lakshagru, or whether we went to our Agyatvas, you were there with us, Krishna. And now, when we have seemingly no so-called external obstacles, and we are comfortably placed, you are leaving us. Better to have the difficulties and to have you, because having seen you face to face means we will not see the cycle of birth and death again. Yes, Krishna does put his devotees in difficulties, but for what? He wants to glorify them. And secondly, he personally sees that they turn out victorious and successful. He will never ever let faith of his devotee be broken. He has never let any one of his devotees be down. Can anybody ever show examples? Or a single example from scriptures or from history that the devotees of Lord finally had to suffer and Lord did not protect? It never happens. And that is the reason why we should have complete faith. The difficulties will be sent for pure devotees like Pandavas. They were sent by Krishna to glorify them. For us, we are not pure devotees. We get difficulties because of our own purification, because of reaction of our own karmas. But at the same time, Krishna will protect us if we remain surrendered at His lotus feet. Anybody has any question? Why should we have faith that Krishna will protect us? This is very, very most important point, I would say, that this faith, if we develop, that Krishna will protect us under all circumstances, we will never leave Krishna consciousness. Everybody is convinced, I feel so. Is it? Okay, so I think I'm going to go ahead to the fourth quality, and that is Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat, which means executing the regulative principles. Yes, Mataji.
Yes, sorry for interrupting, Mataji.
No, please ask. I can understand that somebody is there on the other side, otherwise sometimes it becomes difficult to understand.
Yeah.
Is there somebody still awake?
That's the Mataji. In conference call, it's a little difficult, Mataji, because we can't see anybody. We just depend on our hearing. Yes. So,
yeah.
Mataji, my question is that when we are in the association of devotees, that time our faith becomes increased. But when sometimes when we are away from the association of devotees, that time I feel that my faith has little bit decreased. So,
windows.
What should we do?
That is true. This is true. There is no shortcut for this, Mataji. There is no shortcut for association of devotees. Chanting cannot replace the association of devotees, because association of strong devotees or like-minded devotees those who are more enthusiastic, those who have got more faith, only from there we are going to strengthen our roots again and again, because we are not paramhamsas. Only the paramhamsas can remain atmaram. They can go to a seclusion or without association, they can maintain their devotion. But all of us will continuously require regular association over and over again. Even after 20 years of practicing Krishna consciousness, you feel you have practiced quite a lot, you are completely fixed up. If you stop associating, we will lose the faith over a period of time. That is why once a question was asked, if a person says he has choice of one thing, either he can associate or he can chant, what should he do? He should chant or he should associate, because Yuga Dharma is chanting. So we would think that maybe he should chant. Even if he does not associate, it is fine. But the answer is, one should keep association. Association is more important even than chanting, because in association, one will start chanting. But if you chant and do not associate, one day you will stop chanting. So there is no shortcut. We have to regularly go get association in some or the other form. If not physical association, then physical is Vapu, then Vani association. Hear lectures, read Prabhupada's books. Any way of association is okay, but we have to associate with devotees and instructions of Srila Prabhupada, and there is no shortcut for that. Is it all right?
Yes, thank you, Mandy. So physical association is difficult, but we can hear lecture, we can read scriptures.
Looking at Krishna is good, but like pictures is good, but association is physical association, lectures, so hearing or reading Prabhupada's books.
Yes,
this is very important. Nothing can replace any of these things.
Yes. Mataji, because there are so many places, there is no temple. Maybe there is not so many devotees also, but whoever devotees are there, they are so firm and fixed in their association only by hearing. I have seen, Mataji.
Correct. Very important. That's true. There's no doubt about it, and I agree. So hearing is very important. That's what Prabhupada said. It's the first stage, Shravanam.
Yes.
Okay. So we go to the next one, that is Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat, and that means executing the regulative principles. And here Prabhupada talks about the four main regulative principles. We all know: no illicit sex, no meditating, no gambling, and no intoxication. And along with that, he says there is one positive regulative principle, and that is chanting our prescribed number of rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. Coming to a stage where we chant at least 16 rounds a day. So these are the five important things of Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat. Not doing four things and doing one thing. And this is a vow which we all take. at the time of initiation, right? That we will not do these four activities and we will always chant 16 rounds of Maha Mantra on Chapamala every day. So this is important. Why? Because Prabhupada writes the last line, these regulative principles must be faithfully performed with enthusiasm. And somewhere else I had read in the same purport now, I don't remember where, that one, if we take this loosely and if we stop doing this regularly, slowly our bhakti will be destroyed. So it might just appear after some time, okay, I'm chanting, I'm doing my regulative principles. What if I stop chanting, or what if I chant less number of rounds? We start becoming careless. It means we start taking this process cheaply. Slowly, the bhakti or the interest in bhakti will go away. Okay, so it's very, very important to very diligently follow these five things, four regulative principles and chanting as part of Tattva Karma Pravartanat. Okay. Anybody wants to say anything on this point?
Mataji, I just had a question. So when you're, you know, encouraging your children or the younger people to take up chanting, is there a prescribed number that should be followed, or, you know, because they might find it hard to do 16 rounds all at once?
Yeah, no, correct. You're right. Actually, with children, we never force them. We should never actually force them to do any number of rounds. Prabhupada's disciple, Her Grace Urmila Mataji, she's also very senior. I'm sure many of you have seen or heard her. She knows child psychology. She has done some big degree in child psychology. So I remember her telling in one class, she said, with folded hands, I'm telling you, please do not tell your children to chant, at least till they become 5 or 6 years old. Don't even tell them even to chant once. If they're chanting on their own, they may be from previous life, it's fine. And after that also, we gently encourage them to chant on beads with their friends, one round, two round, like that. But we should never force them to chant. You have to chant. Now you're 10 years old, you should chant 10 rounds. Now you're 12 years old, you should chant 12 rounds, so that when you are 16, you chant 16 rounds. No. When we force them, they might do it because they are staying under your care and concern. But the pressure, if they feel that it's just because of pressure, then it's like a spring. Once the spring is under pressure, and as soon as the pressure is gone, it will revolt. It will completely be out of control and they will hate Krishna consciousness. So that is what is described, that we should give them completely favorable environment where they feel loved, cared, well nurtured. We should provide them the best example by our own life and encourage them. That is also only after 5 years of age when they are growing to chant, but never force them. This is what is my understanding, which I have heard again and again. And yes, if they are impressed with your own lifestyle, if they see that, yes, my parents do what they are talking, they are peaceful, they are very understanding, they are calm, they are very kind, they will like to follow what you are doing, and then automatically they will take the process. Is it okay?
Thank you, Mataji. Yes, thank you very much, Mataji.
Okay, so we're going to the next one, and the next one is Asansanga Tyagoa. And then, so that is like the fifth quality or fifth important point, that one should give up the association of non-devotees. And very importantly, Prabhupada writes that this includes karmis, jnanis, yogis and other non-devotees. So it's very important that those who are karmis is what? They are so much into fruitative desires that even if they appear religious externally, they're always doing business with the Lord. I will do this much, so I will get some good fruits. So they're always doing business. And when we do business with the Lord, it's not bhakti. So we should not get into association with them. Jnanis means what? They're trying to understand the Krishna or the Supreme Absolute Truth by their own personal endeavors and mental speculation. And mental speculation is very, very dangerous because the mind is one of the most cheater and it can give all possible conclusions what we want to derive to. So Prabhupada writes, one should also avoid association of non-devotees, karmis, jnanis and yogis. Is it possible in our practical life that when we have our friends, our relatives, our children might be going to the school, when they have the friends or they're playing with the kids who are not following these basic principles of bhakti, so they will also fall into the so-called category of non-devotees. So being in this material world, is it possible for us? We are not brahmacharis, we are not sannyasis, right? So is it possible for us to avoid the association of non-devotees?
No, Mataji. It's very difficult to avoid.
So how do we reconcile these two points? That on one side, it is very, very important to not take association of these devotees, so non-devotees. At the same time, we cannot completely avoid them. Then what do we do? How do we practically apply this point in our life?
What I understand, Mataji, is we mingle with them, but we do not associate. Associate in the means we do not get affected or get what is their lifestyle. We don't get in ourselves. I mean, we should follow our principles rigidly and consistently without getting affected by what others are doing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anybody has any other points? This is very important. This is Gayatri, right? Gayatri spoke?
Yes.
Yeah. So anybody has any other point?
Mataji, yes. I have also heard that we should be like a lotus petal. Like a lotus
flower,
in the midst of the dirt, the lotus remains unaffected by all the dirt around.
Yes, yes, yes. So this is perfect. These are the two points, that when we mingle with the non-devotees, we should not be taking their association. It means we should not grab their ideas and accept it in our heart, because if we feel that what they are doing is right, we will somewhere in our heart also harbor this desire of doing it in future. That is the reason. But secondly, how to do it? That you be with them, but not of them. But for this, what is required? If we are not taking association from them, we need to give them our association. How? It is like if you know the principle of physics, from the high pressure end, the flow always goes from the high pressure to the low pressure, right? So if we are spiritually not very strong, and if we associate with those who are very strong materially, they will influence us with their consciousness. But if we want to protect ourselves and we do not want to take association, we should be so powerful in our spiritual sadhana that we are the powerhouse, or we are such at high pressure of spiritual consciousness that when we mingle with them also, they will not be able to influence us, but rather we will be able to influence them with our spiritually surcharged consciousness. And this is possible by maintaining a very high standard of personal sadhana and a very sattvic lifestyle. Simple association, books, chanting and diet or eating prasadam. This will make our own consciousness very strong. And then when we go out and mingle with this so-called non-devotees, we will not get affected by their consciousness. So that is why it is said that you cannot go and, protect the whole world, or stop the whole world bombarding you. What we have to do is make a China wall around our own consciousness. And that wall of protection is made by our own sadhana, by our good chanting and good association, good reading, and always eating prasadam. Is it all right?
Mataji, I have one question.
Yes.
So, I mean, I understand your point, and I think if you are very spiritually strong, you will not be affected by the material activities of other non-devotees. But let's see, if you have your family, let's say your husband is not a devotee, or your son or your daughter is not a devotee, or your mother, whom you are so physically and emotionally, you are so attached to your... I mean, I know devotees are not attached, but I'm not at that elevated level. But let's say your mother or your father is not a devotee, and they all the time they just want to go out for movies and they just want to go out for shopping. So how to handle those kind of situations?
This is very, very practical point which we face in and out in our life. Most of us, or many of us, have these situations. And practically speaking, the answer is going to be different for each one of us, depending on how strong they are on us and how strong they are against us practicing our Krishna consciousness. Sometimes they are against, sometimes they are okay, sometimes they are little favorable. So it is going to change. But the basic principle, what I understand or what I have heard from my seniors or in other lectures, first thing that we do not compromise on the four basic regulative principles at any cost. Beyond that, when it comes to, you know, like I do something for you and you do something for me, so that, you know, sometimes they say, okay, I want you to go out which on shopping with me, then we go, so that when we go to temple, they will follow. If we say we will never want to go wherever you want to take me, then they will also never come to temple where you want to take them. But at the same time, if it comes to breaking basic regulative principles, you want me to eat sometime vegetarian, it means that you eat non-veg, it's basic regulative principles, and we do not break it. So we have to adjust in our life, depending on our situations, and it is true that the more nearer the person is in your life, maybe your child, your husband, or your relatives, first degree relatives or in-laws or parents, it becomes more and more tough, because more closer they are to us, more control they will have on our life. It's true. If the person neighbor to us is not devoted, it doesn't make a difference to us. But the family members with whom we are staying and interacting whole day, if they are not devotees or if they are not favorable, it makes life difficult. But in that situation, when we pray sincerely, two things can, like from our things, what we can do is, first, do our sadhana. When we are giving our time of chanting, that time we should give our full attention, do it very nicely, try to do best rounds, because that is the time, anyhow, suppose if you are chanting 16 rounds, it takes about 2 hours. Anyhow, you're going to chant for 2 hours. But during that 2 hours, if you're just thinking and worrying about rest of the day or rest of the relations or rest of the stresses in your life, you are anyhow giving 2 hours, but you're not getting the best out of it. So what we do is, while chanting, forget about everything and give your that time best to Krishna. And that 2 hours given during chanting will give so much of strength to take care of the next 22 hours that Krishna will protect you. And Krishna will give us intelligence how to handle with this other people in the life. Second thing which practically is generally advisable is that sometimes their heart will change only by one thing, and that is a weapon of prasadam. Somehow or other, by willingly or unwillingly, by fooling around, like fooling people or like without telling them, you offer prasadam, like bhoga, and once it is offered, you slowly give them. So this has, you know, like prayers, prasadam, and our own sadhana. These are the only few ways how we can actually touch the life of our closest ones. They will never be changed by our preaching. Know that. Especially if it is your husband. Well, ladies, don't try to preach your husband. They will never be. They can be preached by anybody else in the world except wife. Why? They have to just show by their own example. Give them love, be obedient, be submissive. Do all your possible duties, that they do not have any complaint, any point to show that you are not doing your duty. And after that, pray and feed prasadam. And then wait.
Right.
Yeah. This is a practical problem, but I think Krishna is testing us. And yeah, it also, if Krishna wants, it will happen. If Krishna doesn't want, he will continue to take our test. But when he takes the test, he will also take care of us, and he will make us victorious. If not externally, internally we will become strong in Krishna consciousness. So we should never give up. We should know that if this is what is due, designed for me, I'm sure Krishna knows this is best for me, and that's why Krishna has put me into the circumstances. And then we have to remember telling Krishna, Aslishyava Padaratam Pinashtavam. Whether you come before me or whether you stay away from me, my surrender to you is unconditional. And when Krishna sees the sincerity in us, he will reciprocate. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then after this, the last one, the sixth part is Asatsangat Tyago. This very important part is like we should not associate with devotees. Prabhupada writes, Asatsangat Tyago Ehi Vaishnavachar is what Mahaprabhu told his devotees. Right, and the last one is Satovrutti. Satovrutti means following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. And that Prabhupada writes very simplified way, that our acharyas told us that we should get up early in the morning at 4 o'clock, attend Mangalarti, read Bhagavatam, do devotional services. So for Mataji's like cook, do offering, keep the house clean, make nice altar and offering. So these are the basic activities which we can engage ourselves 24 hours a day, and that is called as Satovritti, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. And then in the next paragraph, it's very nicely written, Prabhupada writes that one who follows all these six activities, being enthusiastic, having confidence, being patient, giving up the association of non-devotees, following the regulative principles, and last, remaining in the association of devotees, one is sure to advance in devotional service. It is very important that one day the result will be seen. We might sometime may not be able to see ourselves, but Krishna will protect us. There is no doubt about it. And we have to develop this faith that if we follow sincerely, we will reach one day our destination properly. And after this, Prabhupada writes, engagement in the devotional service of the Lord is life and soul of the living entity. So this should be our goal, that wherever we may be, whatever it may be in our life, whatever comes and goes, never is going to be a time when we will be completely happy or sad, but we will always continue to engage ourselves in devotional service. Devotional service does not mean going to temple, cutting vegetable, making rajbhog, doing ditchi dressing. No, that's not the only thing. When we sit at home, take care of our family in a Krishna conscious way, when we make our own deities in the house, serve them, when we set a right example for our family and the society to follow, this is also one of the best way of doing devotional service. So for Matajis, it can be just simple, you know, we need not go and give classes. If we just do our Shravanam, Kirtanam in our house and assist the others who are around us, maybe our husbands, or if not there, if in the surrounding circles, or wherever in our Bhakti Vruksha, somebody, in a menial way, by cooking, by helping them, then this will never go in vain. And that was Krishna again says, what is Prabhupada has written, that Neha Vikramana Sosti. In that shloka, Prabhupada quotes that there is no loss or diminution. Devotional service is pure, perfect. And once, this line is very important. Please mark somewhere, wherever you read this again. After this shloka, when Prabhupada has quoted 2.40, Prabhupada has written, devotional service is so pure and perfect that once having begun, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. See, one is dragged. And this is the hope in our life. We actually should not be dragged. Once we have got this chance of coming into devotional life, we should take it on our own voluntarily and do it. But still, this line has always given me hope that even if sometime my mind might just make me fall and make me feel lazy, Krishna will never leave me, he will drag me. And it's so hopeful that, yes, even if I want to leave Krishna, now Krishna will not leave me. And on the other hand, what is the gain of one who executes the prescribed duties according to his varna and ashrama, but does not take to devotional service? So this is the most important part, that devotional service has no loss. Even if we have started somewhere, we have reached somewhere, we will always go ahead. Whenever we have stopped, we will continue from the next point. There is no loss. And if we do not do devotional service, whatever else we do is going to be Shrama Evahi Kevalam. And the last, I think, the paragraph says about the advantages or the good qualities which a devotee automatically develops. Prabhupada gives the quotes, the Bhagavatam Shloka, where it is said that all the good qualities of a demigod automatically manifest in a devotee. So this tolerance, being a good manager, you know, how to manage the house and husband and family, everything will automatically develop when we come into devotional service. When we perform it sincerely, Krishna will reciprocate because he's there in our heart. He will manifest in the form of intelligence, he will manifest in the form of time, he will manifest in the form of energy in us. Okay? So, do you want to just say the six, so enthusiasm, what is important? The 6 points only we will discuss first quickly. What is most important about enthusiasm? Endeavor, engage everything in Krishna service.
Yeah,
we can engage everything in Krishna service. Okay? Then next is patience. What is the point about patience?
Having faith of gradual the fragile process
yeah.
in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, so we have to have faith that one day it will work for us. And third point is confidence. What is the one point about confidence?
We should have faith in Krishna. Yeah,
that he will Krishna. Always protect us.
Yes, yes.
Correct. Correct. So, utsaha nishya dhairyat, tat-tat karma pravartana. Tat-tat karma pravartana means? Following the four regulative principles and fifth chanting.
Yes.
Correct. Then, asansanga tyago. So, then next is?
Avoid
the association of non-devotees, which also includes? Karmis, Jnanis, and Yogis.
Yeah.
Okay. And last is Satovritti. Satovritti means following in the footsteps of Acharya. And that means having our lifestyle having centered around Krishna. Our sadhana, our chanting, our simple processes like cooking in a devotional way, reading, taking care of our children and family matters. That is what is Satovritti. And the advantage is that all the demigodly qualities will be manifested. Krishna has said nothing is going to go in vain. And whatever we accumulate, the spiritual good benefits, that will never be lost. There is no loss or diminution. Is it okay? Anybody has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Mataji, just one comment, Mataji, that this itself is very inspiring because Rupa Goswami is telling, whatever he is telling, he got the instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's always very beneficial for us. And when we are hearing from you, it's so inspiring, Mataji, that it's really it's very inspiring. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. It is just the way of what we call parampara system. We hear from somebody and we transfer. Kirtanam is possible only because of Shravanam. So I'm just repeating the words of other devotees whom I have heard and read. And no credit goes to me, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Yes, Mataji.
Any question anybody
else has? Mataji, just one question about, finding your spiritual master. Could you kind of just help us understand what that process might be, especially for those of us who may not, have devotee association or a chance to go to temples that regularly?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on how, we might go about that process?
Right, right. This is very important for each one of us to understand that how do we get connected and how do we understand and finally get connected to our spiritual master. Who is our first spiritual master? Can anybody say? Who is our first spiritual master?
Srila Prabhupada.
Nityananda. Mother.
Our mother. Scriptures describe that the first spiritual master is Krishna in our own heart. He's called as Chaitya Guru. When a jiva becomes sincere or he develops a sincere desire to get connected to the Supreme Lord, the Chaitya Guru in the heart, that is Krishna himself in the form of Paramatma, guides this jiva towards an external manifested his own representative called as spiritual master. Okay, so first guru is Chaitya Guru in the heart. The next is Siksha Guru, Patha Pradakshak Guru, and last is Diksha Guru. It is described again what we say today here, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So it is that when a person becomes sincere, the Krishna guides him to a spiritual master, and the spiritual master will finally guide him back to Krishna. This is a cycle. So we have to have first a sincere desire to get connected to Lord, seek for a spiritual master, have a desire that, okay, I need somebody to guide me and take me back. If you have the sincere desire, Chaitya Guru will arrange through somebody. And the first person who comes in our life may be what we call is Path Pradakshak Guru. He can be anybody. He can be a small child. He can be a book distributor on the road who shows us the example. He can be our neighbor, our friend. But that person will finally connect us to Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. Sometimes it might happen that Diksha Guru himself or herself is your Patha Pradaksha Guru or Siksha Guru. But for most of us, we get connected to our Diksha Guru through different Siksha Gurus. And it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one can have multiple Siksha Gurus, but only one Diksha Guru. How do we understand who is our Diksha Guru out of our so many Siksha Gurus? We have to understand that the relationship of a Jiva with a spiritual master is eternal. So there is a Guru Tattva. There is no differentiation between different Diksha Gurus. They all are finally representative of Nityananda Prabhu. But we have our own relationship with some Jiva, some spiritual master, with some who is some pure devotee. And how do we feel connected, or how do we connect? When we pray sincerely, we should listen to them. The process starts with listening or hearing. When we hear sincerely to many, many Siksha Gurus, or from whom we get inspired to follow this path of devotional service, again, the heart, the Krishna in the heart will tell us one day that, yes, this is one person who has little bit iota of more influence on my life than everybody else. There might be many, many people those who influence us in our life, and they all are our Siksha Guru. But one person you will find, and that Siksha, so that Krishna in the heart will guide you, who will make you feel that, yes, but this person affects me the most, or influences me the most, and I can give my life to this person. And that indication will come when we sincerely listen to our Siksha Gurus. And Siksha Gurus will be many.
That's a beautiful point.
We should never be in hurry to find a Diksha Guru. We should never find Diksha Guru on the basis of external, this person is white, this person is black, this person is Indian, this person is American, this person is gives nice smile, this person has a nice external relationship. No, it should never be based on externality. It should be based on the instruction where we feel our heart is completely connected and I can completely surrender my life. And that is the time we should wait. And when we get that conviction, we should surrender to our Diksha Guru.
That's beautiful, Mataji. That was a big, very good answer, Mataji. I've been just thinking about that a lot. So I appreciate your answer. And Mataji, if I can ask one other question. Mataji, so for children, my children are in high school, and again, we have the struggle with devotee association. Can you offer some suggestions on how I can get them, connected either on an online community or through some other teachers who can kind of guide us, especially just, children's program?
Yeah. I'll say, Mataji, for all the children's age, one thing is there. Now, it depends also on your local availability of the devotees and everything else. But few things which are important, most important, which makes the basis of getting our children inspired. First is, and foremost, be the best example for them. When they see you doing what you preach, they will get inspired. Even if they don't follow at the young age, sometimes they want to do because they are so much attracted to the so many other activities going on in the world. But if they are appreciative, genuinely, of what you are doing, be ensured that one day they will take up this process without fail. But externally, if you make them follow something, but if they see that what you are saying and what you are doing is completely different, be assured that they will leave it. Mm-hmm. So the best thing which a parent who wants their children to be Krishna conscious is having the best genuine Krishna conscious life for the children to follow. Next thing is, we can never preach to our children beyond an age, especially once they become, like Chanakya says, till 12 years of age, you can tell your children what to do. After 12 years, you cannot teach them. But I guess the years are becoming younger and younger. Nowadays, even 7 and 8 years of age, child does not want to listen to parents. So who they listen to? Their friends. So if physically possible, if it is facilities available, stretch yourself and get the children in association of devotee children. May it be in the form of some, devotee schools or the children's program going on. If there is any possibility, then go there and give your children that opportunity to associate with devotee children. What happens? They will learn. The friends tells, I'm chanting one round, they will automatically chant one round. If you tell them one round, they will never chant. They will learn with them, Kartal, Mrudang, because the children learn the most from their friends. You don't want them to associate with non-devotee friends, you give them devotee friends. but I don't know how much it is possible because it is like in America, in other places, like it's so, you know, like if it is in one corner of the world, it may not be very strong. But at the same time, you become their friends. You sit with them, you play with them, you be available to them. If they are sitting and teaching Mridang, like getting Mridangas, now I was just in Dubai last week, and I went to a devotee's house, and they want their daughter to learn singing. The teacher came and started teaching the six-year-old daughter, but her mind is going here and there. So the teacher has told mother, you also sit and learn. So mother and father are also learning singing at this age, because so that their child can learn.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give yourself completely. So first is the best parents. Second is try and give them best of association. And third, always teach them the principles. Don't tell them, do this, do this, do this, without giving them any explanation. They should know what is to be done, why it has to be done. Give them rational reasoning. And for that, we need to know our basics clear. So we must read, we must listen. And when our philosophy is strong, they will ask you why you are doing what you are doing. When you are, give them a proper answer, they will get convinced.
Mm.
Is it all right,
Mataji? Very nice, Mataji. Very nice. Thank you so much, Mataji.